Good morning. It's now time for the Taos Methodist Church service from Taos City on the Bay's Best, WIOS.
Good morning. I was scheduled to fill in for the pastor because he was going to be out of town, but he called last night and they're both home with the COVID. So there's going to be a little change in the schedule this coming week. His book study will no longer be this Wednesday. He'll pick it up on the 8th of November. There will be no junior church today after the children's time as well. They'll sit with the parents at Rodham. If you would sign your red pad that's in your pew so we know who's all here today. He has, on Tuesday, for the prayer ministry, he told me that there is somebody that will be taking that. So our week starts on a Saturday at 8:30 a.m. The men's group has a prayer group that meets here, and you're welcome to join them if you like. And then Saturday at 4 o'clock, we have our Saturday evening service. And then Sunday morning at 9 a.m. we have Sunday school, and at 10 a.m. our regular service. And today, the nursery is open if anybody has to use that. At Tuesday, there's going to be, at 6:15, bell choir practice. And on Monday at 11 a.m. is a ladies' Bible study. And Thursday at 2 p.m. is the Classy Crafters. November 7th at 6:15 is the bell choir practice. And at 1 p.m. it's the Methodist Women Meeting. All Saints is November 5th, next Sunday. And we're going to celebrate those who passed this past year. And if you haven't brought any pictures and you would like to, try to have them here by Wednesday so they can get them organized for you. And we're going to have a veterans dinner at November 12th, and I was told they need salads and desserts. So if you could bring some of those, that would be appreciated. And I believe that's all the announcements I have this morning. I'll turn it over to Sean. He'll lead us in our opening song and remain standing for our call to worship.
Let's stand and sing, "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah." It's hymn number 127.
me in the call to worship. I will bless the Lord at all times. My soul makes its boast in the Lord.
We've come to the time of prayer in the service. When you watch the television or read the paper, and you hear on the news everything that's taken place, it can be overwhelming. And there's going to be times when you really don't know how to pray for everything that's taken place. And that's all right, because the God we serve knows your heart, and He knows your concerns. And so as we go to the Lord in prayer this morning, let Him take those concerns that's on your heart that you've been struggling with. We'll begin with a silent prayer. I'll lead us in prayer, and we'll all close with the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for loving us today, tomorrow, and always, Father. You're always the same. Give us the courage to trust You with all of our worries and fears. Father, we pray for this broken world we're having. And we ask that You be with all those who are in these wars, Father. All these unnecessary shootings that's taken place in America, Father. We just ask, Father, that something good would be brought out of this, that the people would see how fragile life is, and they would be drawn close to You. Father, we pray for our church family, those who are dealing with health issues. And we ask, Father, that they would feel their strength coming back to them, and they would feel Your presence with them as this healing takes place. Father, we give You so much thanks for the blessings that You give us. And now we raise the prayer, Father, that You gave Your disciples so long ago in saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. Amen. Thank you, choir. Thank you, Sean, for all the hard work you do. We appreciate it. And now is children's time. If you would like to come down, I'm sure Nancy has something special for you. All the children.
Adrian coming. It's going to be fun. Yeah, okay. But you'll know all the answers, and that's the sad part. Okay, how are you? Good. Have you had a good week? Good. I'm going to put this mask on because my husband has COVID, and I don't. My question? Okay. What do you call your mom? Do you ever call her anything else? What else do you call her? Mommy? That's a good one. Can you think of any others? My girls started out calling me Mama, and then it went to Mommy. And then my youngest went through a spell where I was mother, and then I ended up mom. Do you know any names for God? Do you know any of the names that God has? The Lord, perfect. Can you think of another one? Well, I wrote some down, and I know some, so we'll talk about. The very first name in the Bible for God in Genesis is, now I won't say these right, okay, so bear with me. Elohim? Elohim? That was the very first name mentioned in the Bible, and you can find that in Genesis. Have you heard someone ever call him Jehovah? Have you ever, we do a song sometime, the great Jehovah? How about El Shaddai? Once, yeah. There's a beautiful song about El Shaddai, and that means God Almighty. I think I have my mask on upside down or something. Okay, I got another one. Adonai. You heard that one? Pastor, we've heard that like in scripture or something lately, but how about Abba? Abba means most high. Now, God told Moses, Moses said to God, if I'm going to go tell these people that we're running away and living in the desert for 40 years, who am I going to tell them told us to do that? And you know what God said? He said, you tell them, I am who I am. And he said, so you tell them, I am, said it. Isn't that interesting? Can you imagine telling somebody when they ask you your name, you say, I am? But God is. He is everything in our life, so that works. And then the last one I have is Alpha and Omega. Now, in the language they spoke, that meant the beginning and the end. It's the first letter of their alphabet, Alpha, and Omega is the last. So God is everything, the beginning and the end. Okay? We call him Father. Did you ever call him Father? Mm-hmm. It's amazing. Well, I just happened to bring... I overestimated a little bit today in bringing something for everybody. But all of these have names of God on them, and it tells you the scripture. The scripture, the Bible scripture where you find where it says that name. So, I'm going to take these and pick out one or two. And then we're going to see what name you picked out. And you got to shake it. I tried really hard to not get them messed up. You want two? Okay. Good job. Okay? All right. What do your two say? Can you see? I'm going to put the microphone up by your mouth.
Holy One and Messiah.
The Holy One and the Messiah. Have you heard of either of those? You've heard both. Good. So I want you to maybe go home and look them up. Is there a scripture under the word? Does it tell you where it is in the Bible? And where can our people out in the congregation find them? Because they're going to want to know.
Mark 1, verse 24 and John 4, verse 25.
Very good. So we need to remember that God has lots of names. And they're for people with other languages. There's lots of reasons, but we only have one God. Okay? We can call him by any of these names because he's always right here. But there's only one God, just like your mom. Okay? All right, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I am so thankful for the bravery to come up here all by yourself and face me, because I can be scary. I praise you for what we have today. I am asking that you heal the sickness that's going around. We have so many people out today. Heal them. Pour your loving spirit over them. And help us all to return, if not next week, the week after, to worship you. In your holy and precious name, El Shaddai. Amen. Yeah, there's no June. Sorry.
Let's stand and sing together, I Surrender All.
Today's scripture is from Luke chapter 14, starting with verse 12. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Thank you. I'm old school, not because I'm 81, but this church I grew up in for 43 years, we always heard a message from the pulpit that had the story of the cross in it someplace. And I believe some of the things that's happening in this world is because the churches are silent in bringing that message to the people. Now, I didn't plan on saying that this morning. That's all free. You don't have to even put 1% in the offering plate. Jesus has been invited to supper. He already embarrassed some people along the way. He healed a man, and it was on the Sabbath. And that was against the law in their eyes. So Jesus said, "Okay, you've got an ox that falls in the ditch on the Sabbath. Are you going to leave him there, or are you going to take him out the next day?" And the people didn't say anything because they knew that Jesus had him. And then Jesus told a story about a wedding, and then he tells this story. In the days of Jesus, when there was going to be a banquet, the host would send out an announcement so the people would know when to come. And just before it was ready, they sent a more personal announcement out, saying, "All those who said they would come, it is now ready to come." And the people would come busting through the door, upset chairs, tables, to hurry up and get where the best food was or the best wine. And Jesus was at this banquet, and he told them another story about another banquet that's going to take place, a banquet about spiritual truth and humility. And Jesus is telling this story to show the spiritual truth. And this time he sent his servant to all who were invited the first time, and they said they would come. He said, "Come, for now all is ready." And the people began to make excuses. The first one said, "I bought some land and I'm on my way to see it. I wish to be excused." Another said, "I bought 5 pair of oxen and I'm going to watch them work. I wish to be excused." Another said, "I just married a wife, and so there, I can't go." Now, he may have had more of an excuse than the other ones, because it was in their law, if there was a war, and a man married, he could stay home with his wife for 1 year. But the trouble is, there was no war there. That made the master of the house very angry, and he told his servants, "Go out to the highways and the lanes and bring in the poor, the lame, and the blind." And the servant said, "We've done as you instructed, but there's still room." He said, "Okay, go out to the city and the hedges and compel all those that are there to come in that they may be filled at my table. But I tell you, no one that refused will eat of my supper." Jesus tells this story to show a very serious truth, because these people have a special need that he's talking about. Now, God has a scanner, and he's been scanning you from the moment you were born. And he sees the spiritual needs that
you need in your life. And Jesus would say that we all have spiritual needs. There's a universal guilt, and we're all guilty of breaking God's law. No one is going to be at the judgment and say, wait a minute, Lord, I didn't do that. The Lord's scanner has been scanning from the time you were born, not only of your deeds, but of your thoughts also. The laws of man may change, but God's laws never change. You say, okay, I've only broken one or two. Well, the Bible tells us, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and at one point break only one, they're guilty of breaking them all. The scripture tells us the people are dead in spirit and we're dead towards God. We're dead towards God while we live. We're alive physically, but the real us that should have fellowship with God is dead. We're dead towards God, and when we're dead towards God, we're dead towards each other. And that's the reason we have wars. That's the reason we have tensions in homes. We can't get along. The closer we are to God, the closer we are to each other. It doesn't make any matter different what nationality, it doesn't make the difference the color of your skin. We can all be one happy family if we all knew Christ. But you see, we're sinners. And that makes us dead towards God and dead towards each other. And then the scripture also tells us that we're blind. The people in this church in Revelation 3, that was written to them, the letter that was written to that church, they said, we're rich. We don't need anything. We don't need anybody else. But Jesus said, you're not rich. You're poor and you're naked and blind and you don't even know it. And Paul tells us the God of this world has blinded the minds that believe not. Now, the God of this world is the devil. Okay, here we come. Here we come with the devil again. He's working overtime. He blinds our minds, and I can't lift that blindness. No amount of argument, no amount of debate can lift that blind, that veil that he has over your mind. Only the Holy Spirit can remove that. Now, the Bible calls it foolishness to those who hear it. You say, how can this Bible help me with something that happened 2,000 years ago? And that's what the devil wants you to believe. That's what he wants you to believe, to keep that veil over your mind. Your mind cannot see or understand spiritual things until the Holy Spirit comes and removes that veil from you. Your mind has been affected by sin. You can't trust your mind or your conscience. It's like a broken compass. It's just no good. So what is it that you can trust? You trust Christ by faith. And then he resensitizes your conscience and he opens your understanding so you understand the scripture. And the scriptures tell us they are without excuse. What are some of the excuses that people make? Well, there are those who say, I'd like to make a commitment, but I'm too sinful. I'll wait till I get better. Now, you're never going to get better. God's grace can reach down to the lowest depths. You can come at any age, but don't tempt God. If God is speaking to you today, don't put off until tomorrow what God is offering you today. The Bible tells us we may not have a tomorrow. Every time you put off God's word when he's speaking to you, your heart becomes just a little bit harder, a little bit harder. And there's going to come a time, and I don't know when that time is, but God will still speak to you, but you won't hear him. You won't hear his word because you're deaf to his word. Christ came to justify sinners, and you can't justify yourself. There's nothing you can do to save yourself. Your name has to be in the Lamb's Book of Life. You have to repent of your sin and receive Christ when that happens, Christ writes your name in the book of life. You see, there's two books in God's kingdom. The first one is called the book. And everything from the time you were born is written under your name. And the moment you come to Christ, everything in the book is blotted out. It's like you've never sinned before. And your name is written in the book of life. And only those names in the book of life are going to be in heaven. Which book is your name written in? If I wasn't sure my name wasn't in the book of life, I wouldn't leave here today until I was. You may not be the, you may be the best person in town. You may be a fine church member. You may do great things for the kingdom of God. But deep in your heart, you're not sure your name is written in the book of life and that you're ready to meet God. And then there are those who say, it can't be that simple. Yes, it can be that simple. Jesus said you have to come as a little child. You can't make it any simple. You come to Christ without knowing much about Him, and when you do, He'll reveal Himself to you. And then there are those who say, I'm too old. You see, if the devil can't get you when you're young, he'll tell you you're too old. And then there are those who say, there's too many hypocrites in church. Well, I can agree to that. But are you going to stop going to a store because the scale's off that gives you less produce than what you pay for? Or you go to a restaurant where they pad your bill. This lady was at a restaurant, and when she got her bill, she seen some items on it that she hadn't ordered, and she asked the waiter, why are these on here? And he said, well, so people just walked out without paying, and we got to make it up someplace. My wife and I was going to a doctor's appointment in Saginaw here a few months back, and we passed this church, and on the church sign it said, they say we're a bunch of hypocrites, but the good news is there's room for one more. And then there are those who say, I'll have to give up too much if I come to Christ. But you give up other things, like power, education, money. But God gave up all He had. He gave up His Son, Jesus Christ. Have you come to Christ yet? What's your excuse? Someone asked this person, what do you know about God? And he said, I don't know much about God, but what I do know changed my life completely. You don't have to know everything about the Bible. You don't have to be the smartest person there is. You come just as you are. But the one thing I want you to remember from this message, if you don't take anything else home with you today, I want you to remember this. This host at this banquet said, none of those who refuse my invitation are going to taste of my food. If you turn your back on what Jesus did on the cross, shedding His blood to forgive your sins, going to the grave, rising from that grave, giving you the opportunity to have eternal life, if you turn your back on that, there's no hope for you. You're already lost. This is what the Bible teaches. None of those who refused will not taste of my supper. Before you leave here today, you'll either say, I will, or I won't. You'll make a decision. Jesus said there's a narrow gate that leads to a narrow road that leads to eternal life. But there's also a broad road that leads to hell. Which road are you on? Christ provided the way to the narrow road, and Christ is asking you to take that narrow road so he can not only give you eternal life and also fellowship and peace that you don't have now. Ask Christ to forgive your sins. Begin living a new life from your old life. There's a cost to pay. You may lose some of your friends you have. You may even have some of your family turn away from you. But the rewards are great. They're worth it. You'll have peace while you're here on earth and also when you're in heaven. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for sending your Son Jesus to us, that he paid the ultimate price so we could have eternal life through the shedding of his precious blood. Speak to the hearts of those who hasn't drawn close to you, that they may also have joy and peace that only you can give. We ask this in your name. Amen. And now our ushers will wait upon us for our tithes and our offering.
When we are
May the grace and mercy of God go with you as you go, through the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and may you offer that grace and mercy to those that you meet this week. We ask this in the name of Jesus, now and forever. Amen.
God be with you till we meet again. By His counsel's guide uphold you. With His sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again.
Elijah he had prophesied that there would be no rain for 3 years. And so God said, okay, Elijah, since there's no rain going to come for 3 years, go down by the little river down there, the little creek, and I'm going to have some ravens bring you meat every day. You get water from the creek. Well, eventually the creek dried up, and God said, okay, Elijah, I want you to head up to Zarephath. There's a widow up there. I commanded her to give you some food. It ought to occur to us that God didn't say, Elijah, go talk to a widow in Israel. There's a lot of widows in Israel. God could have easily sent him to a widow in Israel, but he didn't. He sent him to a widow in Zarephath, North Tyre, Sidon up there. And it's because God was going to do something there. So Elijah goes to that little town, comes to the city gate, and there's this woman. And he says, he greets her, and what are you doing? What's the situation because of the famine? How's it going in your town? And she says, I'm just getting ready to go home and bake a cake of bread. And my son and I will eat that and then we'll die. So it's pretty dire. And so here's Elijah. And I don't believe he did this out of humor or anything, but just picture this in your mind. Elijah says, wait, make a cake for me first. I'm going to make a cake and die. No, make a cake for me first. What kind of a pastor is that? Come on. And then he said, and then go home and make a cake for you and your son. And your oil will never dry up. My food for you, so rain comes. What a promise.
Right.
And it worked. It happened. So she saw this miracle in her life. And then, a little bit later, same woman, her son died. And she called up Elijah. She said, Elijah, get over here. What are you doing to bring all this into my life? My son, my only son, is dead.
I see my ugly face. Oh, there you are.
That must be her telling
you. He sent me those pictures like it.
And Elijah performed a miracle, and he raised her son from the dead. So, in the first instance, the woman saw that.
Yep.
The Lord had said to Elijah,
on the computer.
The second time, she saw the Lord said to Elijah, save the son, and the son came back to life. And at the end of this, the woman said to Elijah, she said, now I know the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth.
And that's the whole message that the writer of 1 Kings wanted to convey to the readers, that the word of the Lord is true. You can trust it, but you would never know it if you weren't watching what God does. If you watch what God does, you'll be convinced that the Bible is true. It's dependable. You can depend on it always. There's never a time when you can't depend on the Word of God. When you're confused, when life is difficult, when life is good, and things are going your way, and you're like, just everything's positive, everything's coming up roses. And you think, I don't need God. Open up the scripture and it'll tell you. When things are going great, you need God just as much as when things are not going great. Let us be a people who give testimony of what God is doing in our lives. And the world will stand up and take notice.
I know.
Amen.
I know.
Probably my favorite drama, right? Let's pray, please. Father, we thank you for your word. Make us people of your word, truly. And let us enjoy observing your works on the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to ask if the ushers would please come for the morning offering. Heavenly Father, giver of all good and perfect gifts, we receive all the wonderful things you've given to us by grace. And today we bring to you our tithes and gifts and offerings and ask, Lord, that you would make us truly joyful as we give to you, knowing that these will be going to assist in the works of God that you do on the earth here, in our community, and to the ends of the earth. Until Christ comes in glory, amen.
Please join me in singing our closing hymn, We Have a Story to Tell the Nations. Sing verses, all four verses.